All right. Let's go to the Corinthian letter, shall we? I was asked if I would talk a little about communion. I suppose that's where my former remarks came from, that request. I want to turn you really to this wonderful truth in the Corinthian letter, which will be not just a talk on such things as I've said, but also can be a great charge to our brother. For I am convinced, and some of you have heard me say this before, that there is a great need for that which is spoken of in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter. We're in days when we're needing men that can do this. I have laid the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 and chapter 10. Chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now you are not in any way to suppose that Paul was the original foundation layer. He wasn't. He was the secondary foundation layer. But the one who laid the foundation originally was God. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. And Paul said that he'd laid this foundation. And I am absolutely convinced that this is what we're needing. We're needing false foundations, many of them have been laid, tearing up, and the right foundation layer, that's what we're needing in this country and in every country, I imagine, in the world. Not that God has laid the false foundation, but that men have laid, if not a false foundation, oftentimes a very limited one. And so, just for these moments, I want to examine just this epistle in a few aspects and to see what the Lord would have us do. Firstly, then, we're to see that the foundation is far more than what we might think of, probably, as our minds would naturally fly to a building being erected and people digging out deep holes and laying foundations. If we go to the first chapter, we see this wonderful word that, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What a precious thing this is. We've been called into this fellowship. For the sake of that which I have already said, the Greek word translated communion is the same one translated fellowship. We've been called unto the communion of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, once we see this, that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the fellowship, he's the foundation of the communion. We've not been called into some fellowship of a denomination. This was the thing that Paul hits at, because you will remember in lower down, he says in verse 11 that he's heard there were contentions among these Corinthians. He'd heard that there were divisions among them in verse 12 and 13. We've been called into the glorious fellowship and communion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a precious thing this is, beloved, for us to understand. Because you will know who it is that has fellowship in the Son. It's the Father and the Holy Ghost. And we've been called into the communion of God in Jesus Christ. What a precious thing this is. We've been called into the exclusive fellowship of the Son. Now this doesn't make an exclusive sect or anything like that. It does make an exclusive fellowship and communion. Not manufactured by men, not taking on any name of a man, but just that we've been called, and all who have heard the call in all ages have been called into this glorious thing. The foundation of the fellowship is Jesus. Oh, it's so wonderful, beloved. And we can only have communion and in Jesus Christ. It's quite impossible for people outside of Christ to have communion. They may do what they call take the communion, but they can't have commonness unless we're in a common life, in a common person, in a common name. Really and actually, not assumed, not religiously thought of, but actually experienced. We've been called into this marvelous life. This is the exclusiveness of it. Either you have it, or you haven't. Either you're in it, or you're out of it. It's as exclusive as that. And in its exclusiveness, it's very inclusive. Bless the name of the Lord. Really inclusive. You've been included into the person, into the personality, into the life of Jesus Christ, a living being. You've been called into that. Amen. Oh, what a precious thing this is, beloved, for our hearts to realize it. You see, this great fundamental exclusiveness of Jesus Christ is revealed so tremendously in this epistle. Look at chapter 2. He says this, verse 2, I determined, he says, not to know anything among you, nothing at all, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all he determined to know when he went to Corinth. That was a precious thing. Not that he hadn't determined it before, but you keep on redetermining the thing. You keep on affirming it. You keep stating this. I'm determined to know nothing. Nothing. The only thing that works where human personality and lives are concerned is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only working, workable factor that there is. Everything else, to preach or promote anything else, will promote division. It doesn't matter, you may preach the baptism of the Spirit or charismatic movement, and you'll only promote division. But if you're determined to know nothing, nothing, think how exclusive again this is, you see. Absolutely exclusive. I know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. But brother and sister, when you know that, you know everything. Amen. You know everything that really eternally matters. Nothing else matters. Eternally. Nothing. And what a glorious thing is this. It doesn't matter what job you have, or whether you've got an academic training, or whether you were dragged up in the gutter, or whether you work in a hospital or in a jungle, or whether you work in an office, or what you do. Jesus, he didn't say, I determine to know nothing else but Jesus Christ the carpenter. I hope that's not funny, it's real. He said, I only know Jesus Christ crucified. That's all. Amen. Look again in this tremendous statement of his truth. We'll go into the 15th chapter, the Here he says, I declare unto you the gospel. In the first verse he says, the gospel that I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if... we never ought to forget that there's this if in this. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all he was seen of me, as of one born out of due time. And so he goes on. And here's this wonderful gospel, it's all Jesus. He. Not what he did. Well, we're told that he died for our sins, according to Scripture, and we're told that he rose again. But it's the tremendous person. Him. Glorious, wonderful. I determined not to know anyone but him. Amen. Nothing, only Jesus. Oh, beloved, I can see this so clearly, that this is the key to everything. It's the key to everything. Because if a man's determined to know Jesus Christ, all the other things will come into line. God's bound to do it. Because he's determined that you shall know Jesus as he knows him, by indwelling him. That's right. You can see the simplicity of it all. There's no complication. That you and I are called to know him. I was determined, he said, I'm going to know Jesus Christ. If you are really determined to know Jesus Christ, there's not a man or a woman here or anywhere else in the world but that God will do everything for him. If you're only determined to know Jesus Christ so far, that's as far as you will. But if you really want to know him, for instance, if you really want to know Jesus Christ, you must be baptized in the Spirit, so God will do it for you. There you are. You must be. You can't know it. Because we're told in the 12th chapter, this, by the Spirit you're baptized into his body. How then can you know it without? You must be baptized in the Holy Ghost if you're determined to know Jesus Christ. I don't say you must assume that you are or presume that it's happened, but it must take place. It's all part of it. Let a man fix his heart only to know Jesus Christ. Now, it's this what I was saying earlier. If you know him, you can remember him. That's right. And Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything. Let's go back, shall we then? Because as you read quite clearly here in the fifth chapter, that he's on morality in the fifth chapter. It's reported commonly among you that it's reported that there's fornication among you, sexual sin. See? That was quite common knowledge. Now, who and what is the foundation of our morality? It's Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of everything. You and I have to conduct our lives on the earth as Jesus Christ conducted his. So you're told in this sixth chapter that verse 7, we're to purge out therefore the old leaven. That's the thing that made these people commit sexual sin. The old leaven. The old urge. The old undeniable lusts. They're to be purged out that you may be a new lump, as you're unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us There it is. He's the foundation of it, you see. It was Christ, the unleavened person, who had no leaven of sin in him, that was sacrificed for us. That's the foundation of our morality. Amen. All the old is to be purged out. Praise God. And he can purge it out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right out. Amen. That we should be a new lump as we're unleavened. You might feel you're a useless lump. Well, it's good to start off by being a lump. Because if you're on the foundation, God can knock you into shape. That's right. Blessed be the name, Lord. Come as a lump. So, well, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm this. That's fine. As long as you've got no leaven in you. That's right. That's marvelous. You haven't got to have a lot of gifts at this stage. He'll give you all the gifts he wants you to have. Read chapters 12 and 14. Here's the simple unfolding of it all. You're just a lump. Whatever God's going to do with me, I don't know. Whatever he's going to do with us all together, I don't know. But blessed be God, we're on the foundation. That's right. We're on the foundation. Is Jesus Christ the foundation of your living amongst men and women? Is it? This is tremendous. Because Jesus Christ was the foundation of it all, when it came to really dealing with this, this is what he says in verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, now he's dealing with it, the sin that was there. Out! That's right, you see, Jesus is the foundation of it, it's the spirit and power a name of Jesus that's dealing with it. Going through your power. Going through your spirit. Going through your name. And all that represents. Purging it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's your reputation gone. That's why he says in the 6th chapter, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's the lump purged. The lump's purged. Glory be to God. We're unleavened. What a glorious thing this is. And of course, you see, if we go back to the 5th chapter, we're told in verse, at the end of verse 7, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, we haven't got to offer the sacrifice. We can't do that, but we've got to keep the feast. And the feast was the feast of unleavened bread that had to be kept with the Passover. And we can't feast unless we keep the feast of unleavened selves. We're the bread. We've got to keep this. Amen. We keep the feast. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're the lump that's unleavened. Glory be to God. The sacrifice, the Passover has been offered. Now we've come to keep the feast. Oh, foundations and fellowships and feasting. This is fine, isn't it? What a feast it is. Isn't it marvelous to feast with people who are clean? Isn't it marvelous to feast with people who are pure? Isn't it marvelous to feast with people when there's no great lusts working in them. Isn't it marvelous? How safe it all feels. How clear, the air's pure. How sweetly the worship rises. Doesn't it? How glorious the praises. You can't find somebody banging an old cymbal anywhere, can you? There's no old brassy stuff anywhere. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It may make a din, but it's lovely. We're having a good time. We're feasting. Amen. We don't go to church to do penance. So the Lord moves upon us. We keep the feast. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the foundation, you see. He's the basis of all our morality. He's the basis of our feasting. Glory. Ah, it's marvellous, you know. It's wonderful to be here. And we go on. Can't stay in all the things. I see the time is really running ahead of me. It doesn't matter about that. So very much. We come, beloved, to the great 10th chapter. You know, there's a lot of dealing in between on matters concerning which they wrote to Paul. But we come to the great truth in the 10th chapter. Verse 14. My dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread. See, we're one lump, now we're one bread. We've had the leaven purged out of us. Hallelujah. We're down on basic things. Now we're one bread. We've been put through the fire. I tell you, we had this mighty baptism in the Spirit of fire, the Holy Ghost and fire. And we're there. And we're one body. We're all partakers of that one bread. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are partakers of the bread. Hallelujah. This is the whole sweet story of it, beloved. This is what the communion of the body is. You see that the body has to commune. Body has to commune. One with another. We pass the bread one from another to another. How beautifully fundamental all this is. We're all testifying when we break that bread, beloved, that we partaken of that life and the body, the life that was in that body and in that flesh. We're testifying. No sin in him, no old leaven in him, no self-will in him, no seeking his own way in him, nothing. What a testimony it is when you break that bread. When you broke that bread this morning, you were declaring a truth. And if it wasn't true, beloved, all the principalities and powers, some would have veiled their eyes, even the elect spirits, and all the devilish principalities and powers would have laughed with fiendish glee. We break that bread. Hallelujah. What a marvelous thing. We're one body. We're one bread. Oh, hallelujah. One bread. We're all edible. We're all eatable. That's when the power of the blessed cross has gone through your man and woman. I could come and live with you. I could come and eat your bread and drink your wine. I can come and live. It isn't this business that he condemned. Of course he condemned it. He said each is taking before the other his own supper. One's drunk and he said, and another's hungry. They were all eating their own bread. But this is the great common feeding where we share the one loaf, the one bread. How sweet it is. love it, don't know this. Isn't it a precious thing for you to be able to look on that man or that woman to the right or to the left or to the fore or the rear of you and know they're sweet and beautiful and perfect through the same blood and spirit, in the same name, in the same body, and living that exact life that you're living. It doesn't matter whether they're a university don or whether you sweep the road. That doesn't make any difference to God. Nothing at all. Not at all. No make any difference to God. He looks on the quality of your life, on your character, on your morality. That's what he looks at. He looks on the life of the living one inside you. That's what he looks at. Praise the name of the Lord. And sad it is if you can't look at it. If you could only see the outward things. If you could only see that one man's a university don and the other one's a carpenter or something. I'm sorry for you. Make any difference to God. Glory be to his name. We come on one common level. And we've got a common unifying factor. And we've got a common ground. And God has on which he decides everything. That's right. How Christ-like are you? That's the way he decides it. Simple as that. Not how many gifts have you? How many qualifications have you? What have you done? Who do you know? What do you believe? Sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The God? Not a bit of it. I was told I think it was last night, somebody told me I would never go back to a certain place where I preached before because I believe certain things. So that's that. She's decided on what you believe. Now, I know that there are some things, of course. You couldn't have a rank communist preaching to you every Sunday. You've got to decide what you believe. But that's not the thing. Amen. The whole truth, beloved, is that communion lies here. The foundation of our communion is Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're to flee idolatry, we're to flee everything else, but the foundation of our communion is him. One loaf, one bread, one life, one Christ. Amen. And of course, communion is that you're in him. That's the fellowship. And then, of course, you pass on into this marvellous 11th chapter that we've already quoted this morning. And I want you to notice in verse 23 he says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. You may have noticed in the 15th chapter he says, the third verse of that 15th chapter, he said, I delivered unto you first of all this, that which he received, he also received. But he said in the 23rd of verse 11, of chapter 11, I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. First the gospel he delivered, then he delivered this revelation about the communion also. Both received of the Lord. Alright. What the Lord Jesus said, and it's simple, we've touched it, let's just touch it again. Jesus just pleaded with them. He said, just do this in remembrance of me. Just do this in remembrance of me. That's what I want. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Examine yourself and do this. Yes. Am I on the foundation, Lord? Yes. Am I in the fellowship? Yes. Am I enjoying the feast? Yes. Hallelujah. I am enjoying this freedom from sin, all right. Yeah, I'm enjoying this. Not only in myself, but in you too. I'm enjoying this liberation from Satan. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this separation from the world. I think this is great.
Amen. I hope you do too. Amen. And here we are. We're just doing it in remembrance of him. And why do we do it in remembrance of him? May I use another F? Because of our fondness for him.
That's right. Just love to remember. I was talking to a man not so long ago, and he said that God had met him years ago in a certain place. This was in Scotland, by the way. And he said, God met me. I was walking down a certain road, and I was a young man, I was a student, and God met me on this road, and he said, I felt as though I was sort of lifted up, and I wasn't walking on the road at all. Well, I knew what that was. I'd had this experience, hallelujah. When God baptized me in the Spirit, praise God. If somebody had said to me, you know, your feet were a yard off the floor, I could have believed them. I lived in that state for I don't know how long. I didn't come down to earth with a bump, very gently. But he said, this was marvellous. And it continued for a fortnight. And then he said, and I don't know, I seem to have lost all that. And he said, you know, brother, I've been back. Sometimes I've got in my car, and I've driven down to that same spot to see if I could recapture this tremendous thing. You see, the remembrance of it all. For with remembrance goes, if you like, recapture, if you've lost it. Remember. Yeah, I was able to say, you'll never, don't bother about doing that anymore. Lord, meet you here and now. But the whole glorious thing, beloved, is that we are here to remember our Lord. Amen. I don't know whether you are one of the Lord's remembrances, one of the Lord's remembrances, are you? You remember that famous quotation from Isaiah? Ye that are the Lord's remembrances, give him no peace, no rest, until he hath done this great thing for Jerusalem. The Lord wants to work upon us and in us. And then if I move on into the 12th, 13th and 14th chapters, I know that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the functioning of the gifts. Isn't he? You've got the head and the body in the 12th chapter. I don't want to weary you. If I was doing a real sort of long session, we'd read it. But you read this for yourself. You can bracket the sort of references and make notes if you like. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the gifts. Amen. And this is the thing you ought to see. This is why it keeps on right the way down through this chapter. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. The same Spirit. You find this running down through verses 8, 9, and 10, and 11. The same Spirit, the same Spirit, because Jesus Christ is the foundation of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. If you can't hear Jesus Christ and you can't see Jesus Christ, it don't have anything to do with it. It's a load of rubbish. This is the test of the gifts of the Spirit. If you feel a great half-condemning thing or all man coming up through it, don't have anything to do with them. These are no longer gifts of the Spirit. They've become the gifts of the man. he's robbed the Spirit of them. He's old Adam. He's stolen the choice fruit again. He should have left it alone. It's the same Spirit. An ability to speak in a certain way. Is it the thing? God doesn't deal with empty shards. On trees, you don't pick... On orange groves, you don't go in for bringing out marvellous peel. It's the fruit inside, not the peel. Some people don't like candied peel anyway, as sweet as they might want to make it. We all want marmalade. Some of us like the fruit. It's absolutely right. Nobody grows an apple tree for the marvellous skin on it. Look, it's Cox's orange. What's Cox's orange? The skin or the fruit? inside it. This is the whole thing. You say, oh, gifts, gifts, gifts. What's the spirit in it? Well, I want to know. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the gifts. Him. If it isn't Jesus Christ talking and acting, quit it. Get out. You're in bigger danger than you know. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's the foundation of everything. It's all him. Bless him. He's lovely. Glorious, isn't it? Hey. Oh, it's a safe spirit. Say, yes, Father, but I listened to see if it wasn't. It wasn't. What spoke in him was different from what spoke in you. Ah. Now where are we? That's the thing. That's the thing, beloved. He's the foundation. Jesus wants to move about amongst us. And we'll say, we're all in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. That's how we recognize it straight away. We're all in the fellowship. We're all in the communion. Is this all of a part of that bread which we've just been breaking? Is this all of a part of the morality of the life that we're living? Is this all a part of the fellowship in which we've been called? Is it all a part of this gospel? I declare unto you the gospel. He, him, 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 him. This is all it is. Is it all part of this building that we're building? Is it gold and silver and precious stones? Eh? Now that's the thing, beloved. The rest is rubbish. But they're precious enablings from God. They're wonderful ways that Jesus wants to come into the midst of the church and start the talk. And there's someone there with an aching heart. And he ministers love. And there's someone there so baffled with life at the moment. And he sends a little word of wisdom to them. And there's someone there, they're in dreadful need of knowing what to do. Changes it all. And there's someone needing just a word, only a word specially to them. And here comes a prophecy. Right, oh, it's all so marvelous. And well, we're all there together. And then we discern the body of Christ, as it says, when we come to communion, we discern the body of Christ. Where's the body of Christ? Is it on that plate? It just is not. It's there, sitting beside you. Reach out, you can touch it. Touch the person next to you. That's the body of Christ. He, she, they're in the body. Discern it. This is the real communion. Glory be to God. And you can say, well, what he's got, I can have. What she's got, I can have. That's right. Very common in the body. We may not all have to do the same job. I mean, I may not have to sit there and you stand here, but that's not the point. But we have God to commune and communicate. And this is the basis of the word. This word that translated communion, love it, it can be used in any. See, this is where there's so much sort of idea about these things that are bandied around, and because if I come and I share your bed, that's communion. I mean, you let me sleep in your bed because I'm needing the bed for the night, or I come and share your home and your fireside, that's communion. It's the same tremendous thing. That's communion. But this that we do here is the special communion. We do this in remembrance of him. But when you share your fireside with me, you're not doing that in remembrance of him. You're doing it just because you're you. And you want to share your blessings with me. That's right. And of course, we're doing everything in the name of the Lord. And we're doing everything for his glory. But this is a special thing that takes us back to the breaking and the outpouring of Jesus in a wonderful way. That's right. When it says they had all things common, that was it. That's right. And when they broke bread from house to house, that's communion. But it wasn't the special communion. And when it says they continued in the fellowship of the apostles, that word fellowship is communion. Same word. Koinonia, if you're interested in the Greek word, it doesn't matter. And this is the loveliness of it, beloved. The simplicity of it. That everything is brought down to this great big heart of loving God that wanted to share everything that he had. Not just his heaven, but himself. His life. His word. His works. His power. His glory. Just coming down, breaking himself, pouring himself out, divesting himself of everything, if you like, to come right down to us and say, come on, come and know what it is to really live with my life. Come and know what it is to really live. Oh, have love, have grace, have sweetness, have power. Have abilities just like I have them. That's right. That's what communion is. Our salvation is communion. It's the communion and communication of God and God's gifts and possessions to us. That's what it is. It took a cross. It took the outpoured blood. Endless patience. Tireless energy. Unshakable faithfulness, absolute uprightness to overcome all sin, everything, the humbling of himself more than we knew. And some of us were thinking of this yesterday afternoon, we will remember. All these wonderful lines. This is it. Our salvation is complete. Where is the centre of our communion commemorated in this? That's the centre of our communion. I determined to know no one, nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And God gave me this. I received this from the Lord, and I ordained it amongst you. You have to do this. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And we're in this great communion. See? And mind you, he didn't let up. In the 16th chapter, he gets on to it again. He said, he gets on about the collection. That's part of the communion, too. Now concerning the collection for the saints. It's all part of communion. That's why we instituted it in our morning gatherings together, because it's all part of it. Amen. I'm very glad to see this incorporated in fellowships as I go around. The whole tremendous thing, this giving, this laying down your life, this breaking of your body, this pouring out of your blood. You should live like that, but if that was to be determined for us next week, we would go to it quite easily. Be crucified. Right, this is the basis of our living. So it should be no wonder if it had to take place to us literally. None at all. We've got to be prepared for this. If you are prepared for this, you must be prepared for this. Don't live to protect yourself. Don't live to preserve yourself. Don't live like that. It's foreign to Christ. The last thing he did, when his Mary and his brothers wanted to restrain him, they thought he was going beyond it, he took no notice of them. He just went, glory. When Peter said, we're going to keep you from being crucified, he said, you put your sword in the sheath. And away he went. It's the giving of self. Now, my beloved, communion is not me having to come and sit by you and dig something out of you week by week. Till you wear me down, I have to give it up. Communion is you giving. You mustn't sit there isolated. You mustn't sit there all shut up and cut off. You need not. All the inner troubles can be dealt with all the significant or insignificant things, all your isolated splendor, which is self-worship, has all got to go. All, a lot of it. All you being shut up with your own thoughts and feelings, it's all got to go. It's foreign to Jesus. He came to give. Came to give. Must give. Must give. You've got to flee idolatry. The biggest idol you'll ever have any trouble with is yourself. It's all got to go. It's nobody else's fault. Don't blame them. The Lord Jesus Christ came. And he's given. Oh, and it's so blessed, beloved. You get this lump of bread and you break a bit off, say, that's me. That's me. Don't worry. That's me. Drink the wine, that's me. Given. Broken. Outpoured. And all yours. What a wonderful thing this is. So then there's this great incorporation into the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can live and move everything you need, everything any local church needs, it's all here, so that the splendors and glories of Christ can be manifest all around unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you believe that? Now, the foundation's been laid. There's no other foundation but Jesus Christ. But you're to take heed how you build and what you build on this. Let's all take heed and let's get on with it. Bring nothing here that's foreign to Christ. Try nothing here that's foreign to Christ. Nothing. Amen. Oh, but supposing I've already done it. Well, it'll all be burned up like wood, hay and stubble, and your spirit will be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. You'll just about get in. But God wants to bring you, wants you to bring in 20, 30, 40 years of living on the earth. He wants it to be there. And that day, having stood the test of all the fire, even the last great fire, which for you and I isn't hell, but God. Amen. And we shall be there forever. In communion with the Lord. Such as it says in the 13th chapter. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is first coming, that which is in part, shall be done away. I only know in part, only prophesy in part. I'll know as I know. Now we see through a glass darkly. Then, face to face. Face to face. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Isn't that marvelous? So I'm on this great love of God. Amen. I want to be filled with the love of God. If I don't see face to face, I want to be nature to nature. That's right. I want to be love to love. Amen. Don't you? I think this will eliminate everything. Don't you? Oh, love that casts out fear. Oh, love that casts out sin.
tarry no more with us, but come and dwell with me. One of these days we'll get that written on a bit of paper and we'll sing it. Let's pray, shall we?